It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So barring penalty, this should be final play of the preseason. 4 seconds to go.
So loud there on the field.
I give these people credit.
No doubt. Absolutely.
A lot of these people don't get a chance to go to regular season games. A lot of these tickets are passed down. The family members are sold.
Hey, this is a thrill for these fans.
A lot of kids here. It's great.
It's a thrill for us. We're lucky to do what we do.
Sure.
Okay, let's go. This is it.
One last time, perhaps, in the preseason for LaLetta. Off the back foot to the end zone.
Got it.
And that pass is caught for a touchdown. Russell and the Giants will win it.
So in case you didn't stay up for it, that's how it ended. That's how the dream season of 21-0 came to an end.
It's just like Jake Ballard catching that that pass at the end of 2011.
And if you didn't stay up for it, who could blame you? Like, I'm all for preseason football, and I even thought last night had its moments. But holy cripes, what was that, 3:45 last night?
Yeah, let's round it off, call it 4 hours. I, along with everybody else, I think, covering the game last night, was like, all right, like let's go. I don't want to get home at 3 in the morning. I get it. Like, we're lucky to be doing this. But the fourth preseason game, like, hurry up.
Oh, my God, that was terminal. But it did have its moments, and there are things to talk about last night and with this team. And we'll get to most of it here on an agenda-free Friday, which is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. What we do is we give opening takes while you open up the phone lines, or load up the phone lines, I should say, and we go to you as soon as you're ready. Billy Lanny, behind the glass today, may release the hounds, please, at 617-779-0985. It's Big Jim Murray in the Maz chair. Matt McCarthy, McTakey in the update studio. We'll all give our opening thoughts and then go to you. Murray, you want to go first?
Yeah, because my opening take is about stubbornness and how learning to say I was wrong, not such a bad thing, no matter how humiliating it can sometimes make you feel. And right now I'm about to feel completely humiliated. For the better part of a year now, as the soul-crushing traffic gets worse by the day in my commute from Melrose to the station here in Dorchester, Mike Felger over here, who fancies himself the king of drivers and the human map, has been yelling at me behind the scenes about taking his genius route through Revere, past the airport, taking the pike, cutting through Southie to get here. I have steadfastly refused to do this day after day because, in my mind, it makes absolutely zero sense to go that way, deal with all the lights and the countless idiots who gum up everything near Bell Circle. Over my dead body, was I ever going to go that way? Ever, ever, ever. So instead, I sit on 93 like a complete idiot while my blood boils to a white-hot rage, taking years off my life day after day after day. This is what I do. Occasionally, I'll take the Tobin Bridge, but that's it. Not today. Today, thanks to the holiday traffic, accidents, and the fact that seemingly nobody works on Fridays anymore, GPS telling me it was going to take over an hour to get here from Melrose. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. So I was like, you know what? Let me give Felger's route away. I'm gonna try Felger's route. And I got here in under 30 minutes.
Hey, you decided to be a man.
Yeah. Smooth sailing. Pains me to say it. You were right, Mike.
Thank you.
I was wrong. Shame on me for doubting the human map. I should have not been so stubborn. Just like, and I'm going to segue this to sports.
This is going to be marvelous.
How Cowboys owner Jerry Jones should not be so stubborn when it comes to how he's handling Ezekiel Elliott. Last night, Jones says to USA Today, as the preseason also wraps up for the Cowboys, quote, I am operating as though right now he's going to miss regular season games. My entire expectation for what we're putting together as a team right now would anticipate Zeke holding out, not having any training camp. He's going to miss games. I just accept that. You stubborn, whiskey-soaked moron. He's an idiot because he's lived this exact same situation 26 years ago with Emmitt Smith. He did this before. As the old saying goes, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. The same thing's going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys. In 93, Emmitt Smith, bell cow running back, wanted to get paid, just like Ezekiel Elliott. He held out, just like Ezekiel Elliott. Cowboys started 0-2. Jerry Jones realized he was a whiskey-soaked idiot. He made a mistake here. He paid Emmitt Smith, just like how he's going to have to do with Ezekiel Elliott when they start like 0-2 or 1-3. That's going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys. So they made their bed with this guy. We've had the debates about running backs before. But when you draft him fourth overall, I think it was, and he's that important to your offense, because he is, because he's missed games before. The Cowboys have missed the playoffs. When he's there, plays a full season, the Cowboys make the playoffs. Granted, they didn't go to that deep, but they make the playoffs. You've made your bed with this guy. You have to do it. You have to pay Ezekiel Elliott. Don't be so stubborn, just like how I was with the genius route from Mike Felger.
Thank you.
You'll be better off for it. Pay Ezekiel Elliott now. You'll need him week one. You start with a divisional opponent, the New York Giants. Pay him. Don't be a stubborn idiot like I was.
Matt McCarthy in the Update Studio. What's your opening take?
I would just like the record to show that not only was I right this summer about my crusade against fake football, but I was the most right, because last night's product, gentlemen, was truly horrific. Worse than ever before. So bad that even football boy himself, Jim Murray over here, issued me a public apology last night because he could not defend it. Like a man, Jim Murray issued me a public apology for wasting my time once again with fake football. 4 hours, 4 hours long to watch a fourth preseason game. If football does not fix this, pace of play will become a problem. And just like baseball, 20, 30, 40 years from now, this sport will be dying a slow, painful death because it will be taking forever. That's a crusade for another day. Back to the fake football. I am so happy that this is gone for the next year, because I don't have to hear about the Dan Skippers of the world, punter battles, Nick Brosette, Daniel Perry, all of these guys that you people want to talk about and you people want to tell me about all summer long, guys that you will forget 24 hours from now when they are cut and you will never hear from them again. My time is valuable, so stop wasting my time with this. I am glad that my time will no longer be wasted by this. Thank you very much. We are finally here for real football 2019, and I'm very excited.
So, you know, I do disagree with all of it until last night. Last night got a little painful, and there's no question about that. I thought it was a valuable preseason.
The first half was actually kind of entertaining. But
don't tell me that first quarter where Gordon and Demaryius Thomas and Julian Edelman are running around out there, you're going, first of all, what are they doing? And second of all, oh, these guys actually look kind of good.
Yeah,
against fourth stringers.
Okay, so, oh, by the way, like it looks again like Jared Stidham can play. Like, there was some value early in that game. It just lasted way too long. Oh, my goodness, it lasted way too long. So my opening take is just the stuff from last night. And we'll get to all these further on as we go. And we'll take your thoughts again at 617-779-0985. Julian Edelman's injury. Okay, your thoughts on that? I don't get the injury. It's his left thumb. I don't know how he hurt it there. And I don't know how you can't be concerned about it. And I don't care what Ian Rappaport says. I don't care what the cartel says about not to be worried. I mean, that injury made no sense to me. Demaryius Thomas, were you really sold on how he looked? Were you really sold on how he looked, Murray?
No, because, I mean, look, he's got soft hands, and that's, I think, been his best attribute since he's been in the league, and he can come back to the ball, but there ain't much separation there. I don't know how much that's really going to change. Maybe, I don't know, he looks a little bit better as the season goes along because he's coming back off a catastrophic injury last year and then where he tears his Achilles, but I don't know. I just think he'll be okay. I think he's a lock to now make the team. I think that, you know, prior to last night, I think he might have been a bubble guy based on some of the stuff that I've read. But no, I don't think
am I crazy to watch him and still say soft?
No, not at all.
God, no.
Not at all.
I mean, that
the handoff thing where the fumble happened was stupid. That was on him. That wasn't on Stidham.
So soft. Did you feel he's sort of like fearing contact there or something? I mean, I don't know. I still think he tiptoes through the tulips. So, like, I mean, if he were for any other team, guys, I know even, you know, Patriots fans pants off. But if he played for another team and you were paying attention to it, you know what you'd say? Typical Demaryius Thomas.
That's what we said for years, Mike. For years.
Typical Demaryius Thomas. No physicality, no real pushback. He's just waltzing around out there. Of course he's putting up numbers because he's met no resistance. No one's touched him. But as soon as you do, you know, and then you'd say, well, let's wait till we face Demaryius Thomas. pop. First series, you won't have to worry about him. And so, like, to me, that's a classic Demaryius Thomas night. I still don't like the player. Still not sold on him. We'll see what happens. You know, given their track record, they'll turn him into something.
Yeah.
But just on last night, like, you know, I still look at him and go, guy's a little soft.
The only thing I'm encouraged by, though, is because I didn't even expect him to even be in this position like he was last night. I figured he was going to be on PUP until week six, week seven, whatever it is. Like, coming back from an injury like that, and when camp started, it didn't sound like he was going to be playing in the preseason at all. So that, at least, is pretty good. But am I expecting, like, you know, an 800, 900-yard season and like six, seven touchdowns from him this year? No, I just think he might be a decent enough option. You know, setting up play action, you need someone outside and third down. Like, that's what he'll be this year.
Okay, Edelman's injury.
Oh, I hated it. I hate it. So I get why Thomas and Josh Gordon were out there because, you know, these guys haven't played, haven't really done much in the preseason at all. You want to get the rust off of them. And Gordon hasn't played since like last December, right? Edelman, that was stupid. So stupid. Why? What? So you want to see how it looks with Jared Stidham? So do that at practice. I hated that he was out there. He goes down after that 20-yard catch. It's like, oh God, you got to be kidding me. Like, it kind of felt like you reap what you sow. Like, why do you have him in this game? That was so stupid.
So the whole injury, I mean, what, at first I thought, because when it first happened, and I watched it again, if you go back and watch it, after he makes the catch, he takes his right hand off the ball and starts shaking his right hand.
Yeah.
I'm like, so did he hurt the right hand on the catch? Because the right hand comes off and he sort of shakes it.
No, he landed on it, though.
You know, so listen. And then Zoe says, well, he's looking at the left thumb. Looking at the left thumb, that's what he heard earlier. It's the left thumb. It's the left thumb. I'm like, well, why did he take the right hand off the ball? And why did he shake it as he was going down? And then I went back and watched it this morning. He did land on the left hand. And he did look at the left thumb after he got up. But when it first happened, I'm like, is that the right? Because he was shaking the right hand before he even went down. And so, but all I'm saying is this, and it was a nothing play, if that is going to jar the hand loose and that's going to re-injure it, I mean, pretty much nothing happened there. He just sort of came down on it.
Yeah.
He ain't right. That hand's not right. It ain't right, period. I don't care what Ian Rappaport says. Worry, don't worry. If that is going to, re-aggravate the thumb, then,
you know, it feels like it could be a nagging injury the whole season.
Then where is he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go down like that 12 times a game, or block somebody or hit somebody or go, you know, I mean, then he's, I don't know, but I mean, I don't want to say porked, but that thing's for real.
Yeah. And this is a guy who's, the drops have unfortunately crept up a little bit in recent years. So, you know, I'm concerned about it.
I mean, I even thought he's faking. He's faking to put this on film for the Steelers so they think he's hurt. Because it just didn't make any sense. He catches the ball, starts shaking the right hand, and then gets up and looks at the left thumb. Like, what are you doing? And so who knows? You know, this team, wouldn't that be crafty? You know, give the Steelers something to think about, that he's hurt when he's not. But it was that sort of weak. It was that, like, I'm like, what happened there?
Yeah,
it
didn't feel like much.
And he was out the first month of camp, and he hasn't really, has he participated in these joint practices? He hasn't played in any games. So I can't imagine he's done anything to aggravate the thing. And then the first catch, and it felt like before he even went down, he was shaking his right hand, but is it his left? So again, like that whole thing, I don't know. I got my sniffers out on that one. All right, so anything from last night, anything to do with the team. The Patriots are making trades today. We'll get you updated on those trades. We'll get you updated on any roster move that happens between now and 6 o'clock. It's Agenda-Free Friday, so anything from the week that we've gotten to or have yet to get to, we can circle back to Gronkowski. We can circle back to Andrew Luck. We can circle back to the NFL eliminating preseason games and then adding what? What do you want? Pick your poison, regular season games or playoff games. All of that with you and your calls right after these.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
There's the three wides to the right of Stidham from the gun. And a good throw to Edelman. A first down for New England. Ball came loose on the tackle, but he's down by contact.
Oh, and Edelman's looking at his left hand. Oh, man.
It's a 20-yard completion to Julian Edelman.
He's something to watch here. Edelman's looking at his left hand, but here he is on the left side, and he's going to go shake across the formation here. Little shake route. Stidham puts it on him, and boom. I think he lands on the hand that has been bugging him, and he immediately comes out of the game. That's not good.
Yeah, I don't think that's a small deal. And I don't blame the pass for playing them. I mean, that's not where I'm going with that. Because if the thumb is that fragile, then it's just a matter of time in the first game he's going to re-injure it. If that's all it takes to re-injure it, then that's going to happen in the first quarter of the first game.
Yeah.
On Sunday night.
It just feels like it's going to be one of these things that's going to be an issue for the better part of the season.
What the hell did he do to that? And how did that happen? Because Bill put him on the non-football injury list, which is a different designation than the PUP or something like that. But when you put it on the non-football injury list, it's a non-football injury like snowboarding, or it happened away from the facility under team control, and they do that typically. So if they want to recoup bonus money from you or something like that, that's the first. And, you know, I don't think we're headed there with Edelman, but maybe it was just a little bit of a, and others have pointed this out, a little bit of a subtle sign that they weren't happy with how he, you know, hurt himself, or, you know, what did he do?
Maybe it was Pastrnak-esque.
So, right? I mean,
Something like that. I don't know.
So, I don't know. I didn't take that as a very good thing. All right. To your phones, as promised. Keith on the road. Go ahead. Lead us off. Keith, what do you got?
Hey, appreciate the show, fellas. So, I'm sitting here in traffic, and I'm thinking about why Belichick would put Edelman in to begin with. Like, I don't think he was that rusty from missing that much time. I'm sure he was still doing conditioning. He was still training to be in football shape. Why put him in there with a thumb injury when receivers need their hands to catch the ball?
I mean, I get it. So, I mean, but that part doesn't bother me as much.
It's Bill Belichick. Football players play football.
Yeah,
That's his ethos. The
right.
guy hasn't had any reps in the preseason.
I mean,
he's got to get out there.
My issue is, if the thumb's that fragile, it wasn't going to take long for that to happen against the Steelers on Sunday night. I mean, it's all the same difference. If it ain't healed or it ain't, you know, it's just
right. Brady could throw him one with some zip on it. The next thing you know, it's re-injured.
If it's not healed enough to take that, then it's just a matter of time in the regular season as well. I mean, that's my concern, that he banged up that hand and it ain't right. That's it. Period. Story over. No matter when that he's playing. Again, anything from the week that you want to get to that we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it is up to you on Agenda Free Friday. Nick in the truck, go ahead.
Murray, I want to apologize to you for something.
What's that?
You have said from the very beginning that Braxton Berrios is not going to make this team. And as much as I hate to admit that you're right, you are 100% right.
Were you the Miami super fan that was yammering on about him from like day one?
I actually hate Miami, but loved Braxton Berrios.
Okay. Like, I don't want to be right about the guy, but he didn't play last night. It looks like Olszewski's ahead of him, but he still may make the team.
That brings me to my next point. Now begins the era of Olszewski. He's going to have 63 billion catches for 900 million miles.
All right. I liked Berrios, too. I liked him in that first preseason game.
I liked him as a pass off for him in that first preseason game.
I liked him as a punt returner, and I do think he's a little bit better in that regard than Olszewski is. But talking to Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, last night in the postgame with Beadle and I, he thinks Berrios is still going to make it.
He does. As a special teamer, as a pure special, they're going to have seven receivers?
No, he doesn't. He thinks over Olszewski. That, you know, even though that he was the do-it-all, kind of like Troy Brown and Julian Edelman last night, even playing defense towards the end of the game, that Greg thinks that Berrios is ultimately the guy that makes it.
Well, you know we're going to be surprised you know, whether it's
Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers, yeah, or Gunnar Olszewski or Demaryius Thomas. I'm not telling you they're all being cut, but someone who's, there's going to be a guy or two who have played a lot and played well who are going to get cut, and we're going to go, huh?
Yeah.
I thought you liked him. I thought you were playing him so much.
That, and at some, that position, that's definitely going to happen.
Sometimes it's just the opposite. Sometimes they're playing so much because they're not making the team, and we don't see it. We don't see the forest from the trees. I mean, the Jacoby Myers one would be stunning. He was the player of camp for the first 3 weeks.
He was out there last night, though.
At the very end, it's never a good sign.
And he's trended the other way the last couple of weeks. Now, granted, he was better with Jarrett Stidham against Carolina later in that game, but with Brady early, like, that to me was the major red flag. That's who he's going to be working with, and that feels like, what are we looking at here? Kembrell Tompkins all over again. So if that means that he's going to go to, so that Philip Dorsett stays, then I'm okay with that. You know, I know he's been the darling of this preseason, but we've seen this with guys like Austin Carr before or Kembrell Tompkins. I don't know. Cut him and see if he can stash him, hopefully, on the practice squad, because I don't want to lose Philip Dorsett. And Brady certainly doesn't either, based on what he was saying after the game against Carolina.
I mean, what happened with Berrios? I know the last play they threw to him, I think, was the interception that Hoyer threw in, maybe it was the third
Tennessee
preseason game? So maybe it was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was the second game. It was the Tennessee game where he didn't exactly come back for the ball. He sort of rounded off. Berrios did. So it was the first throw. And he sort of rounded off his cut and threw it in, and Hoyer threw the interception. And I don't know if they've thrown to Berrios since. They didn't throw him the rest of that night. He didn't even play last night that I saw.
No, he didn't.
And it's like, so what? You're going to bury the kid on one bad route? Or maybe they haven't. Maybe they haven't, and Gunner's just out there because he's fodder, and so...
Well, since he's been here, he's been hurt, basically. You know, he missed all of last season, and now he's dealing with something again, so...
But I like those guys. I like that little style of player. I like that little style of player, the little scat slot guy who's quick and tough and scrappy. Like, I know I just, you know, you think it's a white guy. It doesn't have to be. You know, I think Myers has some of that going on as well.
Did you hear any of the stuff from Olszewski after the game, too?
No.
The way he was talking? The kid just gets it. I mean, he's accepting of his fate if he ends up getting cut and realizes the nature of the beast of the business. But I don't know, man. You hear this kid talking, it's like, oh, that's a Belichick guy. I don't know how you can lose him.
Okay, Agenda Free Friday. Dave in Watertown wants to go back to the market survey, the media market survey we were talking about earlier in the week. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, gentlemen. First time, long time. Love the show. And the market survey that you do every year, I cannot get enough of it. I think that it's one of the best times of year when this comes out for... as long as you've been reporting on it, I sit in my car when I get to work and am late going to work because I love listening to you guys chat about it.
Great to hear.
And the premier story on that is that everyone is saying, give Brady everything, give Brady everything.
Yeah.
It's a conversation between you and Murray. I am fully on Murray's side. It's one of those where if you're running the business of football, you, Felger, and Maz are correct, but I'm not running the business of football. I'm a fan. And I want that storybook. It started with 199th pick draft, and I want it to end with him not going to, like, not playing against us in a Colts jersey or something.
Dave, how old are you?
46.
46. So you're old enough to remember the bad times. I think a lot of people aren't old enough to remember the bad times, or have just completely forgotten what it's like not to have a viable football team. And I think people are cavalier about it. As evidenced by Murray's take, that 12-4 and losing in the playoffs is the same to him as 4-12. You've just forgotten.
No, I haven't forgotten the bad times, and I don't want to speak for that guy. But for me, and I think some people around my age group in their 40s, those times were so bad. And I remember getting dragged to the Rod Rust era games by my dad and be like, this is terrible. This is torture. Do you hate me as your son? You know, so they were so bad and everything's been so good here for the last two decades. I just don't want it to end. I want to hang on to these good times and I don't want the next thing yet.
So look,
it's not going to be as good.
Ideally, they can do both. Maybe Stidham's the guy. I mean, I was super impressed with him this preseason. I was great.
Me too.
The preseason was worth it just to watch him and, you know, I don't want to go overboard and say we got the next guy, but I think we can say this right now. That ain't Ryan Mallett. That ain't Rohan Davey. That ain't Cliff Kingsbury. That ain't Kevin O'Connell. That ain't or O'Connor, whatever his name is. That, you know, that ain't Danny Etling. That ain't, you know, that's not a lot of guys that they've brought through here. That's closer to what Garoppolo looked like early on, and that proved to be, whether you think Garoppolo's great or not, you know, they hit on something there.
And not even just on the field. Beadle and I were talking about this in the post game last night. he just sounds like a quarterback, too. Like, he sounds like that CEO type that you want at the most important position in this game. Any of his press conferences, it's like, ooh, he's polished.
Okay, but so here's my point. So ideally, he's patient. He waits 2 to 3 years. He doesn't need to go anywhere. He doesn't need to get paid.
And that'd be perfect.
And Brady plays well enough that you don't want him to go in the next 3 years. It just times out perfectly. That would be great. That's what we all want. And obviously, duh. But that's not what the question implied in that survey. It implied that they should do everything they can. So I put it to you. So let's say Brady falls off and this kid can play. They should just keep Brady and let the kid go. Because you don't want Brady to play in another uniform. That's just, it was a talk radio exercise. And we can go back to it if you like. I also want to get to something we hit on yesterday. Pass interference and replay. Is it getting better or is it getting worse? Great example of it last night. We'll get to that after McCarthy here again. The latest on the Patriots are already making moves. Here is the...
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tanny stands in. Fades into the end zone again for Russell. Lawson on the coverage this time. We're going to get a challenge from Pat Shurmur of the right. Giants. There was contact.
It's not egregious, though.
But was it clear and obvious, and like you say, so egregious, because thus far the officials...
New York has challenged that there was defensive pass interference on the previous play.
Now, if you ask me going into the year here, what I've learned through 4 preseason games, that this is ticky-tack. It's not egregious. He turns. He looks for the ball. He tries to compete. He didn't flat-out get beat where you're reaching and trying to trip the guy or grab him. I think it stands.
No call. That's
just
my call.
Just
no
on
call.
How it's been ruled.
Yes.
After reviewing the play, the ruling on the field stands as called.
Good. There you go.
Pass.
Hey, we're learning something
down.
Here.
Yep. New York is charged with
I've learned more than Shurmur has in 3 games.
So, this is going to drive me crazy. It already is driving me crazy. If you watched it last night, you should know what I'm talking about here, okay? So, this was the play after Demaryius Thomas fumbled that end around because I think he was afraid to get hit.
Little alligator arms there.
Okay, so we'll just take a little dig at Demaryius Thomas right there before I get to the point. The very next play, the Giants take a shot play. They go to this 84 down the left sidelines into the end zone. Keon Crossan, clearly... holding his jersey, yanking his jersey back and holding his jersey as the ball is in the air into the end zone. Obvious. They throw the Pat Shurmur there in New York throws the flag to Chandler. There was no call on the field, so he throws the flag to get a pass interference on Crossan. As Zoe rightly points out, we've seen this now a couple of times. Just grabbing onto the jersey is not going to get them to throw the flag. It's not. So... The Al Riveron and the officials were completely consistent with how they've called it this preseason. That wasn't a quote-unquote bad call or an inconsistent call. That's how they've called it all year. We've seen it now, and Zoe mentioned it there. There were a few plays this year where you thought for sure the flag's coming out because he's got to grab it. He's got the whole jersey in his hand. He's grabbing him down the field, and they don't. They don't change it. So, fine. But let me ask you, If they had thrown the flag in real time, would anyone have complained?
No, because that did look like pass interference.
It was obviously, what this is now doing, it's now legalizing grabbing of the jersey. I mean, I'm confused.
Yeah, the only ones I've seen reversed are ones where it's, you know, like a clear arm bar or a wrist is being held by the defensive back, something like that. If you didn't see the flag, you see the challenge flag come out, they look at it. If you see something that looks egregious, that's when you're seeing it. But I don't know. I've always thought that jersey grabbing was kind of egregious when it came to
We're showing a picture right now on NBC Sports Boston. That's it. The ball's in the air. He's got a full grab.
That's a straight-up tug.
That's PI.
Okay, but you know what? They haven't been reversing that all preseason, so they've been consistent with it. But so now I'm led to believe it's – look at that. So it's now legal to grab the jersey? No, it's not. If the ref threw that in real time without replay, I think we'd all have to say – yeah, look at him.
Yeah.
He's got a full grab of the jersey, and that's not holding. That's PI because the ball's in the air. So I think by this replay thing, it's sort of like they are now legalizing full-on holding of the jersey in a way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then there was a PI about 5-10 minutes later that the Patriots got the benefit of. It was Josh Gordon down the right sideline in the second quarter. And they threw the flag on the field, and it stayed, and no one challenged it. But that defender, all that defender didn't do was he didn't turn around. Like, I get it. If you turn around, they allow you to wrestle with your other hand. And this Giants defender didn't turn around. But the Giants defender didn't grab a jersey. He didn't hold him. He just sort of was arm fighting with him and never really turned around. And they threw the flag, and there was no challenge. So in my mind, that holding that Crossan had was far more interference than the other one that the Patriots player had. But now it's all sort of backwards because if you hold the jersey, they're not going to reverse it.
Based on how it was called in the past, I mean, you hold a jersey, that flag is usually coming out. So maybe it's just because it never came out in the first place. And in a lot of these instances so far throughout the preseason, because it hasn't, that's why they're not going to. They're just...
And they aren't
They're giving the refs the benefit of the doubt on the field.
They aren't, and it's not just that. They aren't going to reverse it, or they're not going to throw the flag from the booth unless you freaking...
really mug a guy.
Absolutely mug a guy, I guess. But they're definitely not throwing that flag from the booth if you grab the jersey. So start grabbing jerseys, boys. It's a grab-a-thon because they're not going to reverse it.
Right. If you get away with it on the field, they're not going to reverse it up in the booth.
Which to me is sort of fine. It is. Like, I want them to allow as much contact back there as possible. I hate the PI flags, and I hate, you know, them being too ticky-tack back there. So let them hold. I'm just telling you, back to my point yesterday, you're not going to be able to handle it. And, I mean, some fashion I can't. Because it's, if he throws that flag in real time with the holding of the jersey, we all say, yep, that's pass interference. The game before, where even Zolak said it was on the Patriots player, not Crossan. I think it was J.C. Jackson.
Yeah,
had a grab of the jersey of the guy going into the end zone. And Zoe in real time said, well, that's coming back. They're going to throw the flag on that. He's got a full hand of the jersey. That's clear PI. And they didn't reverse it. They didn't throw the flag. So Zoe learned. And last night he said, well, wait a minute. They're not reversing that. So Zoe gets it. If Zoe gets it, you better believe Bill gets it. And they're going to be start grabbing the crap out of people.
Yeah, so that one in the Carolina game, that was late in that game. It would have tied it at 10-10. I was starting to think, well...
No, that's how they've been officiating it,
well,
Jim.
I know. But after that one, I was like, well, they just don't want this going into overtime. They want to hurry up and get this over. That one last night, I mean, that's kind of early in
the game. Okay, all right. So you can now grab jerseys.
Yeah.
Because it could be clear as day on replay, a ball in the end zone for a touchdown. The defensive back has a clear handful of jersey. And they're not going to throw the PI flag on review, which would lead some people to say, well, what are we doing this in the first place for then? Why do we even have that? Just wait. It's a whole can of worms. The whole replay can of worms. It's coming to defensive pass interference and offensive pass interference, and it's going to be painful.
You're already mad about blogs that haven't been written yet.
Oh, my God. It's so true.
Every Monday, Mike, do you have any idea how miserable your existence is going to become every Monday? Because Monday is going to be pass interference day for sports radio shows. No, it's true.
It is.
Because you're going to have to break down, well, why wasn't this pass interference? Well, you know, they called this on the field, but they weren't going to overturn it on replay. But they didn't call this on the field, so they can't overturn this on replay. Pandora's box has been opened on this, and you know why? It's all because the stupid people out there can't handle the thought of a bad call. Exactly. They can't handle the thought of having, you know, a team get absolutely screwed in a big moment. Whatever. Bad calls happen. So you can't handle one bad call. So now we're going to have to talk about five bad calls every single Monday because we have to go and look at every single one of these things.
Here comes, as Jerry Jones would say, circumcising the mosquito. But, now they have now pretty much legalized grabbing of the jersey. Dave in New Hampshire, your thoughts? Dave in New Hampshire. I could not have set you up any better. He wanted to talk about the pass interference. How about Dan in Boston? He just jumped on this. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. One particular thing I think you're looking at, you're thinking about grabbing the jersey. One thing they referees are very consistent on, if you don't turn around for the ball, you are going to get flagged. That is definitely very consistent that they've done over the past few years.
Agreed.
The grabbing the jersey thing, I'm interested to know that maybe the referee didn't throw the ball, the flag, you know, based on the circumstances, and is that an allowance now for a coach or the system to get involved with the call? You know, is that now that you've opened the box per se, does that now
allow? I don't understand that second part. I think you've opened the box to let these defensive backs grab jerseys because they're not going to reverse it for a jersey grab. They're not. We've seen it a million times in the preseason. Al Riveron all but said it yesterday in the sound we played you yesterday. They're not going to overturn or throw a flag from the stands if the defensive back is just grabbing a jersey.
Right, so if you get away with it on the field, they're not going to overturn it.
And now look, Crossan was stride for stride with him. He was turning back towards the ball. And they're consistent on that, too. If you are turning back for the ball, they'll allow more contact.
Yeah.
The Giants player was not turning back for the ball. But his level of contact was not even close to what Crossan was doing. Crossan had a full handful of jersey and was tugging him back and slowing him down. So fine. I mean, do business as business is done. No one's better than that than the Patriots. So here we go. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers and I'm paying attention, which you know they're not, get ready for it. Get ready for a handful of jersey coming up next Sunday night. Back to your phones. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Stidham going back down the right sideline. This time for Thomas. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's what he does. What we're just talking about, his ability to use his body downfield. Demaryius Thomas, he won't run every route in the book. But back shoulder fade stop and that bubble screen down the line of scrimmage is huge. Here he is, and it's all down the sideline, vertical. Look at the quick feet off the Achilles. That's a good sign. And then he just slows it up. That's a guy that's done it time after time after time. What a guy like Peyton.
Yeah, it gave me nightmares.
No chance for a defender. I mean, it's covered.
That's a tough play. It's hard to stop.
It's a good throw by Stidham.
Great throw.
Zoe finally got to the throw. You ever sense that Zoe, little hard on Stidham?
Just a little bit.
Notice it.
Late. Why do you think it as the play's happening.
Why do you think that would be?
big play happens. It's all on the receiver. Like there. Like he spent a minute on Thomas. What did he do? He didn't elevate it.
Straight.
Yeah. Did Thomas do anything?
He ran straight, turned around, caught the ball.
Did he out-muscle the receiver? Did he out-leap the receiver? Did he high-point the ball? What did he do? Stidham dropped it right into him on the back shoulder, going down the sidelines. But Zoe goes on for a minute about Demaryius Thomas. I wonder why that would be. Big Jim, do you have any idea why that possibly would be?
Because Zoe, like yours truly, is a card-carrying member of the Brady Bobo Club.
Is that ball comes out a second late? Oh, we'll spend a minute on that.
The only time it's a problem for the receiver is when Tom Brady's the quarterback, like Jacoby Myers last week.
Exactly. I think Stidham is the story of the preseason for the Patriots. And that's great. I mean, it's a really big takeaway. Who knows what he can be or what his ceiling is? But I think we can say right now, as I said earlier, it ain't Rohan Davey. It ain't Ryan Mallett. It ain't Kevin O'Connell. It ain't Cliff Kingsbury. It ain't Danny Etling. It ain't, it ain't these other guys. It's closer to Garoppolo. So whether you think Garoppolo can play or not, at least they had something there and there was something to work with and kind of sort of maybe.
If you had to scale a 1 to 10, what would you give him for the entirety of the preseason?
So on
10 being the best.
No, I got that part. On his scale or like, I mean, for him, it was an 8.
Oh, that's high, Mike.
Well, rookie 4th-round pick, I expect it to be a 3. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I was asking. Am I grading on a scale? So, I mean, if I'm just grading them all equally, it was a 6.
Yeah, so I said like last night we were doing this like 5.5, 6. Because he had some real boneheaded plays, some that ultimately didn't get picked off or go the other way. And you saw a couple last night too. One specifically, that interception where he felt the pressure and he's moving to his right. So you either got to like go.
Oh, no, that was ugly.
Yeah, that one, step up, go to the right, take the sack. Like he can't let go of that ball. That was stupid. But again, he's a rookie, so he's going to take his lumps. So overall, like, you know, he looks pretty good.
So again, that 8 was based off of what I expect from a rookie 4th-round pick.
Okay.
I expect nothing from a rookie 4th-round pick. I was expecting another Danny Etling or Ryan Mallett. And what I got was closer to Jimmy Garoppolo, where you watched him and said, actually,
they might have something.
They might have a little something there. And I felt that the first game, and I felt it the last game. So that's a great story. Keep an eye on that. Hopefully won't see him for a while, but there you go.
There quickly, too, there was another great ball I thought he had last night that he threw to the right the end zone, and it went above. It was Eric Saubert, tight end.
That was a great throw.
The one-handed attempt?
Yeah. Like, that was a good ball.
I liked the ball that was the deep comebacker on the left sideline to Demaryius Thomas, where Thomas caught it on his knees.
Yes.
Stidham had a guy right in his face, and that ball must have traveled 30 yards in the air on a line on a deep comebacker. He does have the arm. You know, he does. He can make all the throws. I don't think that's the most important thing, but he does have that going. All right, back to your phones, as promised. Greg and Clinton on the playoff format we were discussing yesterday. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Just talking about the playoff format, adding games or adding inventory, what we talked about yesterday. So every year around week 14, 15, 16, you always get these really confusing playoff scenarios. Mike, you call it the popsicle headache.
Yeah.
Playoff scenarios about tiebreakers and all that kind of thing. And there's always, because of that, it always seems more often than not always, but it seems to be that there's always one team that's 10-6, right on the cusp.
Exactly. Kind of, yes, Greg, so what's your point?
Doesn't make it. So I'm wondering why don't they adopt the MLB playoff scenario where you have the expand the playoff scenario from 12 to 7 games to 12 to 14 games, so you have 7 seeds in each conference.
Quickly,
the one team gets the bye at the top, and you have
that's what they want to do. I have to stop. I have to stop you. That's what they want to do. 7 per conference, 1 bye instead of 2 byes, and that's it. And then you get 3 wild card games. To start, those other 6 teams play off into 3, then you have the 1 bye team, and there you go.
Yeah, I don't want any of this. Excuse me. Do not reward mediocrity. And as it is, you still will occasionally have an 8-8, maybe 9-7 team squeeze into the playoff picture, and thankfully they're out wild card weekend. We don't need more of those teams wild card weekend.
So you would opt for 18 games versus the extra playoff round?
I would. I think it's the lesser of two evils.
Okay. I would too, but I'll take them both, frankly. I'll take the one that I really like, that I would really vote for, is 17 games and 1 extra playoff team in round. I can handle it. I can handle a 7-9 team in the playoffs. What do I care? More inventory. Give me more product. Give me more content. That's all I'm looking for, Murray.
No, you're an insatiable, you have this insatiable lust for content.
Correct. That's it. Yes. That's it.
You get a lot of content out of that seventh team when it's the Miami Dolphins or something like that. No, I hate this idea. I do. The current system, I think, is absolutely perfect. I think expanding the playoffs has basically hurt every other sport, even baseball included. The NFL, they've got it totally made. It's the best, you know, playoffs right now going, because the Stanley Cup playoffs are great, but they take too long. Don't mess with it. Don't dilute the product. This is perfect. Leave it as it is.
Okay, they're not, because they're going to eliminate preseason games. That thing last night, you don't have to worry about that one too much longer.
Thank God.
You'll get that next year, and then it's over. The only question is, extra playoffs or extra regular season? What do you want? Mike in Cranston. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
No, Michael. Hey, you should add, along with personal injuries, people calling about their own personal injuries, people calling in about making up schedules. Nobody
Correct.
Can follow it.
Correct.
It's terrible radio. And first, Jim, what the heck is wrong with you, dude?
What do you mean?
I was scrolling on Facebook and you're taking a dump.
Oh, no, I tried a bidet for the first time. I actually didn't video the dump. It was post-dump.
No one needs to see that. I was enjoying my day, and you're sitting on the can making faces or something.
Well, you didn't have to watch the whole thing,
Mike. Real quick, Mike, what's your other point?
All right. Two things, quickly. I think Edelman tapped out. I think Bill said, hey, I want you to play, and he said, this is stupid. First catch I get, I'm going down, and I'm tapping out.
Okay, maybe. What's your point two?
Point two is the whole starting wide receiver thing is, I think it's just Bill's ploy to give Stidham the, you know, the best options he can have.
And maybe. Do you think they put him out there
to give
Stidham a good look? Then they should give Stidham a starting offensive line, because he took a beating last night, too. He has all preseason, and I think that's where he struggles, like all young guys, with his pocket presence, and he's, you know, it's jailbreak blitzes a lot this preseason, but... I don't know. Did they give Stidham the starting receivers to make Stidham look good, or they wanted to get those starting receivers just a little bit of run? And did Edelman purposely tap out because he thought it was stupid and he wanted to come off the field? I don't know. I'm more concerned about that thumb just not being right.
Yeah, of that, I think that was they wanted to get the rust off those receivers, that, you know, that troika of Edelman and Gordon and Demaryius Thomas. Edelman, ultimately, I don't think should have been out there. The other two, a lot of rust on them, especially Gordon, who hasn't really played since December. And actually, yeah, the same with Thomas coming off the injury. So I can understand them being out there. It was kind of cool to see, though.
That was great.
Work with those guys.
Absolutely it was. And you know what? It looked
all right.
It looked like it should look.
Yeah.
They moved the ball with those guys out there, as they should.
I don't necessarily think that's bad for Brian Hoyer last night. If Hoyer played, if he started, I was with Bedard on this. It's almost like a slap in the face to someone that big of a veteran has been around as long as he has, if he plays. Stidham playing last night, they know what they have with Hoyer. Belichick said the same thing after game, you know, the third game against Carolina. They know what they have. I think they're going to end up carrying three quarterbacks.
You Facebooked a video of you pooping.
Well, much like you, I think the people want content. So yep. I haven't put out much extra content off-air shows recently, you know, it being the summer and all. So while I was away with the lady, our little honeymoon, I realized the bathroom we were staying at the B&B on Martha's Vineyard had a bidet in it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to video myself trying a bidet for the very first time in my life, post-poop, and I put that up for the people.
No, like... like really, actually, or just like a demonstration with your jeans on?
No, I really did it. I mean, you can't see anything. It's just, I mean, you see my face reacting real time to trying a bidet for the very first time. It was quite refreshing, actually.
Do you have Jazz in there doing the video work, or you was this?
No. There was like a little counter that I could put my phone up and I just recorded.
So it was just your face?
That is correct, yes.
It's romantic honeymoon right there.
And we got to look at your facial expressions while getting a bidet.
Yes.
See, similar to the NFL playoff expansion, I mean, this is basically, you want content,
no,
Mike? You're going to get the equivalent of that.
Okay, here's the Patriots' latest, what they've done today in the update, 90 seconds, no commercials. We come back, there's been another survey done on schedules across the NFL. Guess who, according to another service, independent service, has, well, which team with the easiest schedule in the NFL? We'll get to that right after McTakey's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.